Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. Welcome to our online service. Today is December 27th. Can you believe it? It's already the last Sunday of the year. You know, it really felt like for periods of time in 2020, like time flew by so quickly. It almost still feels like yesterday when we had to, you know, close our physical services. And I still remember in the summertime, I had to, you know, gather socially distant, you know, at the soccer field with my friends. That felt like it was only yesterday. And now all of a sudden, we're on the last Sunday of the year. There were also moments in time, as I'm sure you will agree as well, that it felt like it just lasted forever. Right? It felt like just one day is a thousand years. I can't just wait to get this over with. I remember there were a few weeks in the fall when I fell ill and I was just stuck home. I caught a flu, I stuck home. I just, you know, wake up the next day, I'm still at home and asleep, and then wake up the next day, I'm still at home. I can't do anything. It felt like forever. I don't know how your 2020 is. Was it a year that flew by really quickly, or was it a year that you feel like I just can't get it over with? You know, how would you describe your 2020 experience? If you have to use three words, so let's do a little exercise. If you have to use three words to describe your 2020, what would those be? Three words. Let's think about that for a second. Three words to describe 2020, what would that be? Would it be unchanged? For you, maybe there's not much change. Would it be unexpected? Would it be difficult? Challenging? Depressing? Or maybe would it be blessed or peaceful even? What would your words be? My three words would be, I think it would be challenging but full of blessings. Okay, that's five. Challenging but blessed. I think that's my three. Challenging but blessed. Because I realized that, you know, throughout this year, obviously there's a lot of changes, a lot of things to cope with. But I feel like I'm really blessed in the sense that financially, I think God's provided for me in a lot of ways. I didn't have to worry as much as I realized a lot of other people do in this period of time. And also relationally, God has blessed me in different relationships with my family members, with some of my brothers and sisters, with my mentors, with my girlfriend, you know, so on all these relationships, it seems like throughout this year we've gotten closer, and I'm really, really thankful for that. And so it's part of the intention for this worship service. It's our prayer that we will take this time to reflect on not just what has happened in the world, but what God has done in our lives. And maybe even reflect on what God has shown us, you know, the blessings and the good things that He has done in our lives. And it's our prayer that, you know, whatever you use your three words to describe your year, maybe how difficult it is or how challenging it is, whatever the three words are, you can still use but blessed at the end. Challenging but blessed, difficult but blessed, depressing but blessed. That's our prayer for today. So as we begin our year-end Thanksgiving service, I'm going to invite you to stand. Let's pray together, and then we're going to begin our service. Let's pray. God, I want to bless my brothers and sisters first to have a good spiritual memory. I pray that you would bless them with a spiritual memory to remember not just what has happened in the world, but what God you have done in their lives. And God, I also pray that you bless them with a good spiritual eyesight to see not only the things that has happened in the world, but to see the way that you have God worked despite these difficulties, the blessings that you have shown in the midst of these difficult times. And God, I bless the brothers and sisters to have faith to declare, even in the most difficult of times, even in the most depressing of times, that God, you're still good and you're still faithful. And God, we're going to enter into your presence with thanksgiving today. And may we encounter you in worship and in sermon today. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Your holy to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy
Great are you, Lord.
You never stop working.
Going through raging storms that may seem too fierce for us to get through. And at times, we could not even see you or feel you. We might think that you have abandoned us or even forgotten about us. But God, you have reminded us today that not even the most furious storm would override your very presence. The darkness will fall, the clouds together, shadow will come, and waves will roar. But you will be there, and you are right here. God, help us to anchor our trust in you and you alone. For you are the faithful God, you are the way maker. You are the miracle worker. You are the promise keeper. You are the light in the darkness. That is who you are. That is who you are. God, we praise you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, please be seated.
Finally, yes, finally, we have come to the last Sunday of 2020. How do you feel this morning? Can you believe that it is the 42nd Sunday that we have been gathering online since we last gathered at Richmond High on March the 8th? 42 weeks. It has been over 9 months. As 2020 will be ending in just 4 days, let me invite you to take a pause this morning. In the next 30 minutes, let's focus in the God's Word. Let's open the Bible and listen to God's Word with an open heart, shall we? Let's open to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verse 11. It is a miracle story about Jesus and 10 lepers. In the beginning of the story, it says, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Perhaps you would ask, why are the lepers socially distancing themselves from Jesus? Let's take a look at what's happening behind leprosy in the New Testament. In the New Testament time, leprosy was not just a medical illness. Once a person is diagnosed with leprosy, he would suffer the worst of all possible quarantines. One would be in total isolation, not just for weeks, not just for years, but for the rest of his life. Lepers were removed from all of their social network, their neighbors, their community, their own family, their children, even their spouses. They could not go to temple, they could not join any religious gathering. The only connections they would have was with other lepers. And this is the reason why these 10 lepers were gathering in the same group, because it was the only social bubble that they were allowed. At verse 13 it says, they lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. It might be the first time they actually met Jesus. But I'm sure they have heard the many stories about Jesus healing others. So finally, this day has come. Jesus was there at the very village that they were locating. So all 10 of them, they lifted up their voices. Master, have mercy on us. Master, have mercy on us. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priests. Unlike other healing stories, Jesus did not touch them. Instead, Jesus asked them to find the priest. Hey, what's going on? Why didn't Jesus tell them to go to the doctors or perhaps some other leprosy test center? But going to the priests are the religious professionals. Actually, according to the Old Testament, especially in the book of Leviticus, the priest was actually authorized to make diagnosis of leprosy. Leprosy was not just a medical disease. It also has social and religious implication. And only the declaration from the priest could free a person from the lifetime quarantine so that they could go back to their family, to their loved one, and back to their normal life. After hearing what Jesus said, these 10 lepers followed his instruction and headed to the priest. Verse 14 says, as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. As they were on their way, they saw one another being healed. Yes, they were cleansed. Not just one, not just two, but all 10 of them. Can you believe that? Being cleansed from leprosy would imply that they could go back to the temple and worship God. They could see their spouse again. They can embrace their kids again. Wow, this is a true miracle. But the Bible did not just stop at the healing. In verse 15 it says, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Jesus thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. While the other 9 were overjoyed and celebrating with their loved one, this one person, the Samaritan, had a very different idea. Hey, wait a minute. It was that Jesus who made us clean, right? Shouldn't we go back and thank him? Shouldn't we go back and let him know that we are grateful? But for some reason, his idea was being ignored. The other 9 simply moved on. They never went back to Jesus and gave thanks. But this Samaritan, he turned back. Instead of rushing to the priest, he turned back. He returned to the village and thanked Jesus. And look at it, a small but significant footnote. He was a Samaritan, a foreigner, an outsider. I'm sure that's probably not what most people would expect. Most people would expect that all 10 of them would go back to Jesus and thank him. Unfortunately, the other 9 simply move on and never return. Verse 17 is said, then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to him and give praise to God except this foreigner? When that one leper came back, Jesus asked him 3 questions. Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one returned and thanked God except this foreigner? I'm sure if you were standing next to Jesus at that village on that day, you would have the same question. How come only one leper came back? Where are the 9? Something must be missing. When they were being isolated by society, all 10 lepers gathered together. When they heard that Jesus was coming to their village, I'm sure all 10 of them were standing and waiting. All 10 of them were lifting up their voices. All 10 of them were crying to Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. But just as we just read, at the end of this miracle story, something was missing. Yes, the lepers were all healed, but Jesus was asking one more question. We're not 10 clans. Where are the 9? Something was missing here. When we are in crisis, we cry to God, we seek Him, and we are willing to do anything for God, right? But once the crisis is over and the problem is solved, many of us will simply just move on and take God's goodness for granted. We often forget to express gratitude for the blessings in our lives. And eventually, we even lose sight of God's goodness. Just imagine what happened to the 9. After they were healed, maybe they would go back to the family, maybe they would go back to the loved one, and things were finally back to the old normals. While they were celebrating with their new freedom, Jesus was never mentioned in the story. Jesus was never mentioned in the story. Something was missing. 2020 has been a tough year. I'm sure you would agree. We went through so many different inconveniences. There were huge lineups everywhere, at Costco, at Superstore, at Best Buy. We ran around aisles at grocery stores just trying to find one item, toilet paper. And for parents, we make so many adjustments as school schedule keep changing all the time. And we receive cancellation notice from swimming lessons, from ballet classes, from gymnastic classes. As for people who like traveling, all you could do is just reposting last year photos from Taiwan, Japan, or Hawaii at your Facebook. But in this morning, may I ask you to take one step backward and reflect. Despite all the inconveniences, as you look back at 2020, do you spot any silver lining in the cloud? Instead of taking things for granted, is there anything that you are grateful for? As I look back at my own 2020, it was not an easy year for me and my family. At the beginning of the lockdown, things were chaotic. We have 3 kids, so you can imagine. But a few weeks after the lockdown, I came upon an article called Pandemic Parenting, Starting New with Your Kids. The article reminds me, for parents, actually, the pandemic is in fact our opportunity to grow with your kids. The pandemic is a time to try new approaches to connect with them. While we are stuck at home, family members can develop new habits. So in April, my wife and I make a commitment. We set every Wednesday evening aside and make it our weekly pandemic family night with our 3 kids. And let me give you some ideas what we have tried on Wednesday. We kick off with indoor camping, and of course, we had s'more. We had home scavenger hunt. We make our own pizza, our own pasta, our own dumpling. We had puzzle night, we had craft night, we had speak-only Cantonese night, and of course, we had Korean night, watching K-drama and eating Korean food. Even though we missed our annual family camping trip, those Wednesday nights had made lots of fond memories. My wife and I were really, really grateful. As for our staff team at Koinonia, 2020 has not been easy. I still remember on March 8th, I make a special announcement on the stage of Richmond High about all the new protocol we are going to try at our church because of COVID-19. But just after a few days, the city was locked down and all mass gathering was banned. No one in our staff team had any experience about pastoring in the midst of pandemic. Although our church had Facebook and YouTube, no one in our team had any idea what does it mean by doing church online for adults or for children. And talking about chaos, I still remember the first time we learned how to do Zoom in our staff team. Oh, it was chaotic. Everything in ministry was unsure. We were just like traveling on uncharted waters. But recently, some of our staff just sat down and looked back at the past year. Let's listen to their stories about 2020.
I remember back in February, back in March, when we heard about this coronavirus, right? At that time, we didn't know it was going to call COVID-19, but we have heard about this virus coming and it spread all the way to Europe, to Italy, and sooner or later, it's gonna hit North America. And the first thing that came to my mind was, oh, okay, what's gonna happen to our small groups? Because every week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 6 days a week. During the evening time, we have people coming in. And so every week we have close to, 100, 200 people in and out of KMC. And, if this disease is as bad as it sounds, then this is going to become an epicenter. So what are we going to do? Can we move everything online? That was the big question. And so we tried out Zoom, we installed Zoom, and we did some training, and we asked all the staff, all the small group members to install Zoom right away. But we are still worrying, what's going to happen to the members, right? Are they going to, not everyone is so computer literate, and are they going to be able to install Zoom and catch up with technology and so on? But, who knows, 8 months, yeah. 9 months later, the whole world is on Zoom.
I think the first thing we thought about was on cost. The second thing we thought about immediately, for me especially, is the physical gathering at Richmond High. I still remember March 8th was the date that we changed the sermon to be something like COVID-19 preparation, something like that sermon. And then we shared during that day about our, our response, like stage one, stage two. Stage one was that, you can still come, but then you have to wear a mask. And then, we debated for a long time, is it mandatory? And then like hand sanitizer, fever check, stuff like that. Stage two was, no more, right? Cancel all the physical gatherings, everything's gonna be moved, however, I don't know how, but moved online. I remember March 8th, we gave that, and then I was packing after that sermon. I was packing and I had my guitar and then bag and like a bunch of stuff, and then like people were leaving, the site team members, they were moving the carts out. And then when I looked at that scene, it was a little bit like, this is a little bit emotional, a little bit like that. It's like, I feel like it should be like background music going on as well, like, cinema kind of movie kind of thing. And I was just thinking to myself, is that the last time we're gonna ever come back here? And are we ever gonna come back here? And obviously we never went back from then on.
Right.
After March 8th, we, because of the healthcare situation, we had to move everything online. Those 2 weeks, I think, we all have done like 4 weeks of work in the 2 weeks, like everybody in here included, because we had such a high standard still for our worship services. But there's so much stuff that we don't know. So we had to figure out a lot of stuff on the fly. And we're really thankful. I'm really thankful that we have a media staff that is really knowledgeable in this kind of area. He has a lot of equipment that he could show us, and he could show us the way to go. But more importantly, I think I'm very thankful that God has provided us this place, KMC.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you guys remember, but KC, you guys been to KC, right? KC, little cramped space, three offices, and like five people working in one office space. And like, you can't imagine how any of this is gonna happen there. But now, God has prepared for us this place, and it's not only good for like gatherings, physical gatherings, but like, you think about it, well, it's actually perfect for filming as well, because the ceiling is just about high enough. It could be a little higher, but just about high enough. The places are big, a lot of room. So I'm really thankful. Somehow God has provided just at the right time, the right space for us so that we could continue to host worship.
Yeah. We didn't quite know what to expect though, how this is gonna turn out. My own nightmare scenario is, people are going to leave and membership is going to decline, we're going to get a deficit, and then we're going to lay off a bunch of staff. Who knows, right? What if the economy collapses and so on? It didn't happen. As it turns out, none of that has happened. Rather, we have grown instead. believe it or not. And some of that growth is measurable, right? The number of people entering, admitting into OICOS. Before the pandemic, every year we run to pre-OICOS, which is the OICOS preparation class, right? But just this year, we have run four
so pre-OICOS. So like double.
Yeah, wow. And we have admitted over 50 people into small groups. So that is something that we haven't seen before. Sunday attendance, every Sunday we have around 300 people coming online, attending the online worship. But our YouTube viewership has grown to exceed 1,000. So it's also a good thing, a positive growth. As well, the prayer meeting. Before the pandemic, we have monthly prayer meeting. We have about 20, 30 people joining every time, every month. But now all the small groups are joining our prayer meeting. So every month we have 100 people, 120 people joining prayer meeting.
All through Zoom.
Through Zoom, yes. And also for the first time, we have run Alpha Ministry online. Yeah. And people participated, and there were people accepting Jesus Christ. And so in September, we also done something. The first time we have a baptism at a park. So that's very exciting for us. Well, not just numerically, right? We are looking at, we want depth as well. So we are looking, we want the congregation to grow spiritually. So for the first time, every single small groups in the Cantonese ministry, we are reading a book together. We are reading Francis Chan's Crazy Love, and we are very excited, passionate about, you know, what we can do as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as well, the English OICOS, right? You guys are
doing
Ephesians, a detailed study, not just a 12-part study on Ephesians. So as we look into 2021, I think we are in a good place.
Yeah, it seems like the growth, especially the depth part, is sort of really apparent, like spilling over to other ministries as well. For me, like the most memorable is obviously, you know, college OICOS. Now it's called Young Adults, Young Adults OICOS. I remember in the near the beginning of the year, around February, we had that, you know, physical prayer meeting around like 20 to 30 people, 30 leaders praying. And then one of the prayer items was for the next generation. You know, we got to pray for them.
For revival.
Specifically for revival, right? For revival, revive their hearts for God and desire for God's word and all that stuff. And then it got to a point where, like, I think a lot of people were like bowing down and they're on their knees, and somebody was crying. I think I was crying. A lot of people, I think you guys were crying.
Yeah, we said we didn't know how this would happen.
We didn't know how this
made this happen.
Exactly. And then, like, and then when the pandemic hit, so we had to move everything online, I was like, well, God, how is the revival going to happen?
Online.
That's something that you do, right? So I talked to Wilbur and I was really hesitant about it. I was like, wait, should we still go on? But then in my mind, I'm like, you can't just break forever and then not see the students, right? So, okay, well, we still have to go. So I don't know how that's going to turn out. You know, the leaders, we talked and we said, hey, we can't really do much. We just meet with them and read the Bible and try to get them to build a habit. For some reason, only God can do this. That God, he spoke to the students during that time, helped them to connect with him and sort of spoke to them, and so that they have this experience of, you know, encountering God in their own time, to the point where they built up this discipline. Like they built this habit. They said that they taste and to see the Lord is really good, and to the point where they copy scripture. You know, then they take pictures and they send it to the group. We copied the book of James, the whole book of James. We copied the book of Ephesians. Now I think we just did 2 Timothy. So and even now, like after the summertime, it's still spilling over that momentum, that growth, to the point where some of the students, they are really passionate. They say, I want to take part. I want to be a part of more.
Wow.
So they say, hey, can I take some part of leadership? Can I share some content? Can I read some more books? So we have some student leaders that are like sort of going up in our small group to lead their own activities. So looking back, you know, like, you know, how does God do a revival through online? You know, God says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to hear your prayer and I answer your prayer. And that is just so amazing that how this has happened.
Yeah. God can do the impossible.
Impossible is just right. I was just thinking, it's not just college OICOS, it's also the youth OICOS that we're experiencing growth. At first we were thinking, do we have enough leaders? Who's going to lead? We have people who are pregnant.
Leaders was a big problem.
Yeah, leaders was a big problem.
So lack of leaders, yeah.
I'm just so thankful that God provided us with leaders. For the grade 8 to 10 girls, Pastor Ava, Claudia, Priscilla, they're leading them. For Fizz is leading with Mimi and Shirley for the grade 11 and 12 girls.
Yeah.
And we have Dick and myself leading the high school boys. And I remember that this growth, it's not just in terms of leaders, but also in terms of death. Back then, the boys, their prayer was, "Dear God, thank you, amen." Three-step prayer, right?
Concise.
Very detailed. Yeah. But now, they pray for one another. They pray for the needs. And another thing is the girls. Fizz shared that the girls, they are doing Lectio Divina. They are immersing themselves in scripture, spending a lot more time in learning. So, wow, the growth, it's so deep. And another thing that I'm really thankful for, it's Youth Sunday. Youth Sunday, at first, we were thinking, how are we going to hold it? What are we going to do about it? When COVID started, we could only just send out PDF. It's just a chunk of words. PDF, book. Read it yourself.
Not much reading yourself do. Worship.
But now, we can have it on Zoom. We have Zoom on Sundays with them. And when we were planning, how are we going to do it? It's not going to be easy. We don't have enough leaders. We were thinking, once again, we are met with the same problem. We don't have enough leaders. But thank God, He provided us with leaders. Right now, we have Angela, we have Damon, Wayne, myself, Priscilla, Pastor Ava, and Dick. Seven of us, a big team, to lead a group of 19 to 20 youth every single week. And I'm just so thankful that He provided us with this chance to continue to grow, even in COVID situation.
And wait, we gotta talk about Karpas. Yeah, we can't forget about Karpas because so much has changed for Karpas since March. We went from meeting physically, we were in Richmond High, we had two services, we opened about 10 classrooms, we had almost about 100 children joining us every week, to everything moved online. And now part of our weekly tasks is to provide these weekly online worship videos. And boy, I think Kenan can probably echo me on this one, but it was a big learning experience for us. We had to learn how to set cameras, set lighting, set the frame, set the set, and then organize a filming schedule, writing a script. And I think the biggest challenge for us to overcome was probably talking in front of a camera.
But you guys did a great job.
We got by.
The kids are saying like they can't wait to watch, you know, they just binge watch all the episodes.
Actually, seeing what the families have, you know, shown us, seeing the kids worship even online.
They dance along with you guys.
Yes, right? Dance along in their house, in their living room, in their whatever room in their home is amazing. And I really want to thank God for that experience, because not only has these resources reached out to our local church, but also to church overseas. We've heard of them in Hong Kong and Victoria. There are a bunch of children that are using them as well. So really thank God for this amazing opportunity. Even though we can't meet physically, they're using these resources that they can worship and learn more about God at home. So that's amazing. You know, you talked about youth online. I have to talk about Karpas online too, because I think before this time, I don't think any one of us could have imagined having and hosting a children online worship service, I guess,
is
online.
Is that even possible, right?
I know, is that even possible? Like, first of all, there's so many logistical things that we had to think about, but it's amazing because now that's what we do. We have online meetings for all the divisions. And even though for the younger ones, the toddlers and the preschool students and their families, we only see them once a month, they're so excited to see each other. Every time they're on Zoom and Pastor Kenan just went to one, they're like, hi. Kids are so excited to see each other, and the parents connect, and the kids like to sing the worship songs, learn about the Bible messages. So it's really a time and an opportunity and a channel for us to really stay as one, stay as one and connected as a church, even though we're physically apart. And I really want to thank God for this opportunity. And personally, I get to experience weekly worship service time with our elementary students, and I'm really thankful for that, because again, we have Bible message, we have worship time, but we also have a time of small group activities, and it's amazing. Every single month we prepare these personalized goodie bags and activity bags with materials so that we can actually do these activities with them online, over Zoom. Yes, all the leaders and children, they get to do the same activity together to really solidify God's word. And for that, I'm so thankful and so excited. And of course, for that, we have to thank a group of really committed servants. We have about 10 to 12 servants that have committed themselves every single week, even though it's not a very long time, but it is a commitment for preparing for the time and for their heart, really, their heart to serve these children. And in them, I have to thank God for His work, because a lot of them, as you said, were college students, 80%, yeah, students, and high school students, and yes, just so thankful for them because of God's work in their lives. They have decided to commit themselves to serve these children and to help them grow as well, help themselves grow. So I look forward to this every single week.
I think one of the sort of the main themes that have popped up, at least that I noticed, is that how God turns a seemingly very challenging, sticky situation, like from our eyes, it was impossible to grow or to, you know, take to the next step. He's turned that situation into something where His grace and His power and His providence shows up. And I think the biggest, for me, the biggest evidence of that is what we did in April and May, and I can never forget about that, you know. During April and May, it was when the pandemic hit really hard, and, you know, a lot of people working from home, the economy seems to be, you know, taking a dip. It seems to be like a lot of people lost their jobs and stuff like that. And so at that point, you know, the pastoral team was just brainstorming, and we said, hey, you know, the church is the light of the world, and we should go out when it's dark, right? We should go out and we need to shine for the world, you know? And so, you know, the pastoral team came up with this brilliant idea, to give out the whole month of May, the offering from the whole month of May, and just give it away to the organizations, the nonprofit organizations that's really helping out the community, like physically intact with them. And when I heard this, I'm like, are you sure about that? You
know, take, like, a leap of faith.
Yeah, like, it's a big leap, because we were in 5-digit deficit leap of faith, you know, like that's how big, you know, 5-digit. And then I'm thinking, well, if you give out the whole month of May, then it's gonna get to 6-digit, and that's even bigger leap, right? And then I had little faith, that's me, so I didn't voice out my little faithness, but so we just went along, right? And I think we're banking on, you know, just one of God's promises. He says in 2 Corinthians, that's something that we preached on as well in the Reaching Out series, that, you know, God's gonna provide graciously for us to do great things, to do good things, good works for Him. That's the only thing we're holding on to, hanging on to. And the pastors, they presented to the councils. Right away, they approved it. And then we presented to the congregation. The congregation seems to be super supportive, because in the month of May, we ended up receiving like something like $100,000,
right,
something like that, which is like, mind-blowing, like unheard of. Like at that time of the year, usually that happens near the end, like December, November kind of thing. May, it's like a little dip, you know? It was really amazing. So we gave out the month of May, $100,000. And then June, July, August, we had to, like, you know, it's a little bit of a dip. We deficit's growing a little bit. And then we're like, okay, well, we gotta just keep going with faith. And then I was just keeping track. We're just keeping track of the financial numbers. June was deficit 6-digit, July, and then August was like 5-digit, something like that. And then September was like, wait, where did the deficit go? You know, like, it's like balance is equal.
Yes.
And then at this point, we're like, we made it up. You know, that's like mind-blowing to me, at least, like how we can give out 6-digit and we had a deficit and make all that up and then still have leftovers. And so I think that's like God's biggest, you know, proof of, you know,
He's faithful.
Exactly. Yeah. He's faithful. He's going to provide for you to do good works for Him. So I think for me, that's just one of the main themes and one of the recurring themes, how He turns the impossible, sticky situation and He turns it elsewhere. It's goodness and His grace. Mm-hmm. So I'm really thankful for that, you know, for the whole year. And I think that's something I'm going to keep looking forward to in the next year. Yeah.
Wait, is that it?
No,
is there something else?
No, yeah. We're missing something. We should be thankful for our leaders as well, our Oikos leaders. It's not easy for them, right? Standing at the front, they're the one who's leading, and they have to change their habits, go on Zoom. I don't think it's that easy for them, but really, good job to them. Really thankful for how they have stepped up.
Yeah, the Oikos leaders, thanks for I was gonna close this thing, but Oikos leaders, the smaller leaders for the college and the youth leaders, 100%, like, they deserve a lot of credit for the things that we were able to do. For me personally, I really thank my teammates, especially those involved in the worship production.
The production crew.
Exactly, every Saturday they film the worship. I remember near like the beginning, March, April area, we had like 2 servants in rotation, like as in like for 2 positions, so that they would come every single week. And then every single slot was like 4 hours or 5 hours. And they just said, you know, sign me up for as long as you need until you find somebody else. And so I'm super thankful for the production crew, for music team, and for everybody that's involved with that.
Yeah. And of course, I must also mention you guys, the staff team are awesome, because back in May, I think, because of the financial situation, we've decided to enter into a work sharing program where everyone would take a 40% pay cut. But that doesn't discourage you guys from serving. We are still passionate. We know what we're doing. And ministry must continue. We must continue to make disciples of all nations. Yeah. And we kept going. And of course, throughout the journey, the staff team has been, we have been in a unity and good spirit, and here we are. The financial situation is, you know, more than good.
Yeah, it's gone.
We are really in a good place. When we look into 2021, you know, I'm excited about, you know, what we will be able
praise
to
God
do. So all the glory goes
praise
to God.
God.
Yeah.
Well, these are the stories from our staff about 2020 in Koinonia. How about yours? How was your stories in 2020? In Psalm 103, as King David reflected his own life story, he praised God for what God has done in his life. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And let me repeat verse 1 and 2 in the Message translation. O my soul, bless God. From head to toe, I'll bless his holy name. O my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. We're not 10 clans. Where are the nines? In the miracle story of the 10 lepers, something was missing. As we approach the end of 2020, let's not forget a single blessing from God. Don't take God's goodness for granted. Finish the year with a grateful heart. Don't take God's goodness for granted. Finish the year with a grateful heart. In the next 4 days, before we are done with the year, I invite you to slow down and take a 30-minute break away from your daily routine. Within that 30 minutes, ask God to help you to recall, to remember, and not be forgetful. Write down at least 10 items, I suggest, that you were grateful for in 2020. Write down at least 10 items that you are grateful for in 2020. It can be a person for whom you are grateful. It can be a thankful event. It can be a grateful experience. And among those names that you write down, it may be your co-workers, it may be your neighbors, or someone that you just met while you were lining up outside Costco. And if you owe that person a word of thanksgiving, I encourage you to reach out to that person in the next 4 days. It could be a phone call or a simple note, just to thank that person for what he or she had done in your life and how you are being blessed. And after you have completed this list, try to find an opportunity to share what you have written. You can share with your Oikos small group or maybe your family members. Don't take God's goodness for granted. Finish the year with a grateful heart. The year 2020 has been a tough one, but let's end the year with a different note. Let's not take God's goodness for granted. Let's learn to be grateful and thankful as we are finishing the year 2020. Let's pray together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit. Lord, we thank you for what you have done in our life in 2020. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your healings. We thank you for redeeming our lives. Thank you for crowning us with your steadfast love. So, Lord, help us Help us to keep our focus on your goodness. Help us to remember and be thankful for every single blessing coming from you. Help us not to take your goodness for granted. Help us finish 2020 with gratitude, because you are indeed a good, good Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All through the years, God has been faithful. All through the years, He is a good, good Father. So now let's stand, church, and sing of the goodness of God.
Goodness of God, and all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running out, it's running out to me. Your goodness is running out, it's running out to me. With my life laid down and surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness, it's running out, it's running out to me. Your goodness is running out, it's running out to me. Your goodness is running out, it's running out to me. With my life laid down and surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing the goodness of God, and I will sing of the goodness of God.
Church, let's declare this together, that our God is good and His steadfast love endures forever. Our God is good and His steadfast love endures forever. Our God is good and His steadfast love endures forever. And church, you might not feel like it this year. You might not feel like there's a lot of things that didn't go your way this year. You might have feel like the pandemic stopped a lot of things this year. You might have feel like the pandemic canceled a lot of things this year. If anything, 2020 was not your dream year, was not what you expected. But church, we are here to declare that regardless of what 2020 is, our God has not changed one bit. Our God has not changed one bit. He is still the good God, and His steadfast love still endures forever. Regardless of how messed up 2020, how many things have stopped, it doesn't stop God's blessing and His love and His goodness towards us. And so church, our God is a good God, and His steadfast love endures forever. Not only in 2020, but also in 2021, in 2022, and all the way to the end of our lives until forevermore. He is still the good God, and His love still endures forever. And church, I want to bless you as you move on from this year to the next, to be honest, we don't know whether next year is going to be better or worse. We don't know whether the world's going to get better or for worse. But one thing we are for certain, and I want to bless you with that, is that you have this almost stubborn faith to yourself, to God. You have this stubborn faith that you will always trust that He is good regardless of the scenario. You will always trust that He has love for you forever. And I bless you with this faith as you move on to 2021, that you will experience His goodness and experience His love for you, because that is who He is. He is good, and His steadfast love endures forever. God, we thank You for all the blessings and all the goodness and love that You've shown to us in this year. And more importantly, God, we thank You for all the times You were here with us. In the darkest moments, You were here with us in 2020. We look forward to see how You will continue to work in us, in this church, and also be with us in the next year. Thank You, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, please be seated.
So as we bring our worship service to a close, I have a few announcements to give to you. First is, if this is your first time joining us, you're definitely welcome here. If you want to know the church a bit more, if you want to connect a small group, if you want to sign up your children for children worship, you know, you can fill in this online connect card that we have for you. One of our staff members is going to connect you, and then we're going to share with you more information and help you along the way. And we'd love to get to know you. So if you don't mind, you can fill in that online connect card that we have for you. Quick reminder, next week is communion, so make sure you go prepare those elements and we can partake in communion together. Next week also, the brand new year, we're going to begin a brand new sermon series called Flawless. And in this sermon series, we're going to tackle some of the challenges that I think we all face at some time or the other, regardless of who you are, where you are in the life stage, you know, your family background. I think we all go through this. And it's the challenges that we deal with, you know, self-doubt, with insecurities, with negative self-talk, with, you know, questioning our identity, or even not liking our identity, or constantly thinking that we're not good enough. Our question is, well, what is the solution to these challenges? How do we get out of these negativities? And that's what we're going to talk about in this sermon series. And I feel like this is going to be very, very important. Obviously, for teenagers, for our young adults, you know, they're growing up, guy or girl. I think I can speak for myself as a guy. I wrestle with these as well. So obviously, it's going to be very important for youngsters, for young adults and for teenagers. But also, you know, if you're an adult, if you're a little bit, you know, farther in the life stage, this, I think you can agree that this is very important to you as well. So I hope that you can join us in this brand new sermon series and bring your friends, bring your parents, bring your children, bring your teenagers, and hopefully we can hear what the good news is as it relates to who we are as a person. Last little bit of announcement, the last day for offering, if you want your donation to be counted in the 2020 offering donation receipt, is December 31st. December 31st is the deadline. If you're doing your offering online, please make sure you don't do it at 11:59 p.m. because the computer, the machine takes a little time to, you know, to process the whole thing, and then you may not get your thing, your offering done before December 31st. So our encouragement to you is do your offering. If you're doing online, do it early. If you're bringing in cash to KMC, the cutoff time is December 31st, Thursday, 12 p.m. December 31st, 12 p.m. If you're mailing in check, make sure you postmark it on or before 31st. If any of these is too much information, just make sure you do it early. That will solve all your problems. So that is the end of our announcements that I have for you today. Let me now bless you and send you away with the word of God. Today's meditation is going to come from 1 Thessalonians. It says this, church, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Holy Spirit and do not despise the word of God. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and your soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. Church, we'll see you next week. Happy New Year.